Well, Horst, this is the Friday edition of Challenge, and in recent days, I've asked you to consider and to pray about furnishing about $1,300 for 13 pastors in the Philippines. Well, I'm withdrawing that request. Why? Because God has already answered the prayer. We have a prayer-answering God, and I mean He has already answered the prayer, so don't send any money. Just disregard the request, and sometimes I think the Lord lets me go in the air. It's been a long, long, long time, years, since I made a request for funding of any kind. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes the Lord may be testing me to make sure that I will obey, because I don't like to talk about money on the air. I don't like to ask for money on the air. But I think once in a while He may give me a test and say, well, do this. And I did what I felt I was supposed to do, but He has already met the need. So I'm withdrawing the request from you, our radio congregation. So don't worry about sending any funds for Christmas funding for our church planters in the Philippines. We already taken care of our 16 church planters, but I was asking for some funding for an additional 13 pastor church planters over there because I know that they need it, and Moville Velasco had asked me to consider that. Moville had asked me to consider furnishing each of these 13 men with $100 for Christmas. Well, God has met the need, so I'm withdrawing the request from the air. I want to thank you for praying it with me, and I thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And right now, let's go to today's message, which is entitled, The Body and the Bride of Christ. And may God give you ears to hear, and may you be blessed as you listen. Here's the message. I have in recent days hammered on you and the radio congregation fairly heavily from Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to take you back there for just a few moments this morning before we get into the rest of the message. Recall that in Ephesians 1, Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus. And in verse 17, this is what he prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now we get to verse 19. You're going to have trouble believing this. God's got to make this real to you. It has to be appropriated by faith. It's the Word of God. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching it. Verse 19, he continues praying. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, those who believe, those who believe. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I remind you once again, Paul was not asking God to give them power. Paul was praying that they, the church, could understand, embrace the power He'd already given. Hello. Folks, the power is yours.
Yes, sir.
Far above all principality, power, throne, and dominion. When Christ came out of that tomb, He defeated every enemy of the cross. He defeated Satan. He defeated every demon out of hell. So why are the people of God tolerating
and putting up with that which Satan is bringing against them. Amen. You don't have to. The power is there. This is not just preacher talk. This is the Word of God. It has to be appropriated through faith in the Word and through prayer. Prayer is the most devastating, if you will, important, powerful weapon in the universe.
Amen.
And it's through faith and prayer that you appropriate this power. Now, here's what I was going to teach tomorrow on the radio. You can open your Bible if you would. We're going to be moving around to a lot of different scriptures, but you can open yours initially to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. And I'm going to ask you not to try to keep track of me in the scriptures because you'll lose sight of what I'm saying. I'll read you the scriptures. I'll back up everything I'm going to say with the scriptures. Isaiah 43, 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Roselle, come up here. Now it's important that the people understand this message. I want you to pray. Ask for the anointing on me, the anointing on them. The Spirit of God in this place.
To the Spirit of the living God, we understand the essence of who you are and your function. Holy Spirit, you are the very breath of God. You are the power of God. You are both vital and essential to our development, our growth, and our understanding. We understand that Jesus himself relied upon the anointing for his effectiveness. It's not a power struggle within the Trinity. That's just the way that everything has been set up. So this morning, Holy Spirit, first we want you to know that you are totally welcome here in this place. We need the breath of God, the freshness of his breath, to breathe upon everything that would take place here this morning. Amen. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. You are the source of our strength. And I'm asking that you would visit both the heart and the mind of our pastor this morning, as well as each and every one of us here this morning in this congregation, and to those listening by way of the internet. Holy Spirit, we need your help in order to digest and to understand these truths. Jesus, you said the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. And we know, Holy Spirit, that from creation you hovered over everything to give it meaning and purpose and life. So this morning, we pray that the anointing from the throne of God would be released in this place upon your servant, the messenger. I'm asking you, Father, to help him to recall all of the insights and the truths that you have shown him in the scriptures. I'm asking you to so stir his heart, stir his mind. I'm asking you, Father, to touch the heart of every individual here in this place, that we all would be up under the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move now in our congregation, asking you to work in such a way that you would do what you do best, and that is bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his glorious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Roselle. Now I'm going to share with you the seed thoughts that God gave me as I completed this message yesterday for the radio for Monday. But we go back to Isaiah 43:7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. That's why you exist. That's why you exist. For his glory.
Amen.
Called by my name. everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the Word of God says. Satan is going to do everything he can and use every ploy, snare, scheme, wile, device he can to keep you from fulfilling that verse. To keep you from being to God and for God. Now, the church is the body of Christ on earth today, according to the Word of God. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. The church is the bride of Christ on earth today. The marriage ceremony takes place when Christ returns at the end of the tribulational period. So what we're going to do this morning, I want you to understand that each member of the body of Christ on earth today, those who have been born again, you constitute the body of Christ on earth today. Every member, every one of you, every member of the body of Christ has a special function in the body of Christ. Amen. You've been gifted, you've been anointed. If you're in the body of Christ, you have a special function, a gifting, and an anointing by the Holy Spirit of God. God has a purpose. God has a plan for every member of the body of Christ. Not all the members of the body of Christ are on the platform. They're not all on the praise team. They're not all in an expression of ministry within the confines of the four walls of the church. But out there where you live, breathe, move, you have a function out there. You're to be salt, you're to be light. Each member of the body of Christ, you, is a purchased possession. Purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You as an individual are a purchased possession. Now I want to look at the church from three angles. Number one, I want to look at the church, the purpose of the church. Number two, I want to look at the position of the church. And number three, I want to look at the power that's available to the church. Listen, the church is eat up with unbelief. By the way, Mike, you'll be pleased to know that I was talking to a fellow from Tennessee this past week. He had been to the doctor. He had cancer. He asked for prayer. We called the radio congregation to prayer. He just went back to the doctor. He's cancer-free. He's cancer-free. So, but he told me, he says, who is that person in your congregation? And he was talking about you, Mike. I said, that's Dr. Mike Fiore. So keep it up, son. Keep it up. Keep up the encouragement. Now, the purpose of the church. Let's understand this very, very clearly. The purpose of the church is to advance the kingdom of God on earth. That's why we exist. We're to advance the kingdom of God on earth today. You do that through your lifestyle. Amen. What you embrace, what you don't embrace. What you're part of, what you're not a part of. We do that through our lifestyle. Then we do it through our witness and our testimony. You have a witness. You have a testimony. You advance the kingdom of God through your personal witness, your personal testimony. This is what God has done for me. Let people know what God has done for you. Each and one of us is to be salt. Word of God says it will be salt and light. We are to be a preservative. Folks, the church has failed. For the most part, the church is failing. When you look at the morality of this nation, and the Word of God says that we're to be salt, meaning that we are to preserve godly values, godly standards in the nation through our lifestyle, our witness, and our prayer. Yes, sir. Well, when you look at the condition of the nation, we haven't done a very good job. We haven't done a very good job. But we're to be salt on earth today. Matthew 5:13. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted. It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the feet of men. There's a lot of laughter in the nation today that the church is in declension, that the church is losing members, that the church is losing influence, not impacting the nation. He goes on in Matthew 5:14, not only are you the salt, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You cannot hide the fact that you're a child of God if you're living a godly, holy, separated life.
Amen.
Can you do it? You cannot hide the fact that you're a child of God. So we're to be salt on the earth today. We're to be light. We're to take light into the darkness of the society in which we are members. Are you hearing me? We're to take light into the darkness of that society. Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light, your life, your testimony, your witness, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There it is. It's part of your purpose. Now you got to stop and ask yourself, am I doing that?
Hello.
Am I influencing the society in which I live? Am I standing against darkness? How do you do that? In your prayer closet, in your lifestyle, in your testimony, in your witness. That's what he's saying. Each member of the body of Christ, you have to keep this in mind. Each member in the body of Christ is a believer priest. God made you a priest.
Amen.
As a priest, you minister to him. You minister on behalf of him to others. Who are you ministering to? How are you ministering? You are a believer priest, according to the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You are a member, an individual member of a holy priesthood that offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You as an individual are to offer up spiritual sacrifices in your praise, your prayer, in surrendering yourself, dying to self. Every morning of the world, you get up, you commit yourself to the Father, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and you go out that day to represent him,
amen,
to bring him glory. Folks, this isn't just talk. This is reality. This is reality. But I'll promise you, I can preach this in any number of churches, regardless of its size. We have a fairly large radio congregation. And I realize as I teach this that it just goes right off over the heads of most people. I'm talking about people in the church. For so many in the church, it's like water off a duck's back. It just rolls off. They don't embrace it. You see, you will embrace what you believe. When you start believing this, you'll embrace it.
Amen.
When you start believing this, you'll say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am a purchased possession. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I am a member of a believer priesthood. I am a member of the body of Christ on earth today. Once you start believing that, you will start living that. That is going to affect your speech. That's going to affect what you say, what you don't say. That's going to affect your attitudes, your reactions, your responses. Once you come to grips with this truth, this is who I am. This is what I am. Once you start understanding that and believing that, it's going to change everything in your life.
Amen.
It's going to change your responses to life. It's going to change everything you are. He goes on in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Before you were born again, you were a child of the devil.
Amen.
In the kingdom of darkness. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hear me carefully. As a member of the body of Christ, you are to minister to other people as prompted by the Holy Spirit. They don't have to be family members. They don't have to be neighbors. They can be strangers you don't even know. I'm hesitating. I'll share this with you. This is not a self-exaltation. I do this. I notice a need. I say to the person, I don't know them from Adam's house cat. I don't know the person. But I walk over to them and I say, could I pray for you? I'm sitting in Bojangles. Saw a man walk in with a lady. She's obviously in distress. Had an oxygen tank with her. They sit down. Holy Spirit says, go pray for them. I said, I don't think so. Because I wasn't being smart. I just was trying to make sure it wasn't in the flesh. But it was there. The prompting was there. So I went over. I think I mentioned this to you. And I said, may I pray for you? And she broke out crying, weeping convulsively right there. And her husband said, yes, please, please pray. She said, yes. So I prayed for him. Never told him my name. Never told him I was a preacher. Didn't say anything to him about me. I just said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him and blessed him. The other day, I've been out walking and talking with the Lord. And I saw this older lady. She's walking along. She's obviously got a problem. And Holy Spirit said, go pray for her. I hesitated. I'm waiting to make sure I'm hearing God. Because there's no self in this. But I knew that I knew that I knew. So I caught up with her, walked up beside her, and I said, I'm out here walking and talking to the Lord. I said, may I pray for you? She said, please. And she stopped and told me all she'd been through. This was the first time she had been out of her home for weeks. She's been going through cancer treatment. And she wanted the prayer. So I prayed for her. You're surrounded with people like this every day.
Amen.
You're surrounded with people who are going through distress, going through marital problems, physical problems, financial problems. You are a believer priest. You have access to the throne of God. You can go to that person, and sometimes you don't go to that person. Sometimes the Spirit of God just simply says, pray. Pray for that person. So you pray for them. You don't know their name. You don't know the condition. You just pray. You leave the results up to God. Stay off his throne. Leave the results up to God. So you have to understand that you are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And each and every... Listen, as a believer priest, you represent Jehovah God.
Amen.
As a believer priest, you represent the risen Christ.
Yes, sir.
As a believer priest, you represent the power that created the universe.
Wow.
When are you going to grasp it? When are you
going to
embrace it? When are you going to believe it? As prompted by the Holy Spirit, you are to minister. Now the Word of God tells us that each and every member is an ambassador for Christ. What does an ambassador do? Represents the one who sent them. Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. As a ambassador, you represent the kingdom of God. There's no greater kingdom in the universe. You represent the kingdom of God. Believers, believer priests, ambassadors. As an ambassador, one of your primary functions is intercession. One of your primary function is intercessions. We need national prayer. We need prayer for the church. That's why we're doing a concert of prayer tonight, 7 p.m., concert of prayer. One of your primary functions as an ambassador for Christ is to be salt, to be light, to be a witness, to represent the kingdom of God and intercessory prayer. Each member in the body is to intercede on behalf of the kingdom of God on earth. That's so much for the purpose of the church. Now, I've just scratched the surface. I've only scratched the surface of the purpose of the church. Now, let's talk about the position of the church. As a member of the body of Christ, you're an individual member in the body of Christ. My body's got a lot of different parts. And I've told you before, I don't want my kidneys trying to do the function of my heart. And I don't want my heart trying to do the job of my pancreas. I want every member in my body to perform the function for which it was designed. God wants that of you. He wants you to function in that calling, that gifting, that anointing that He gifted you with, anointed you with, and called you to do. So you have to remember that. Just as Christ is in each member is in Christ. Let me say this slowly. As one born again, you're in Christ. That's what the Word says. As one born again, Christ is in you. How do you improve on that? Christ is in you. You are in Christ. Wherever Christ is, you are. Wherever you are, Christ is. Wherever you go, you carry Christ around in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? You're purchased with a price. The purchase price is the blood of Christ. But everywhere you go, you carry Christ with you because Christ indwells you. Amen. So where you are, Christ is. Where Christ is, you are. Are you getting this? I said you're in Christ. Where's Christ now? Where's Christ now? Where's Christ? Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You're in Christ. Where are you seated? You're in Christ at the right hand of God the Father. I didn't write this. I'm just teaching it. But it's what the Word of God tells us. Each member in Christ is therefore seated in Christ at the right hand of God the Father, far above all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. Amen. Ephesians 1:21. When Christ was raised from the dead, once again I'm going to read it to you again. You see, your position in Christ Jesus places you. Now, follow me carefully. You're in Christ. Your position in Christ places you, Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. God has placed everything underneath the dominion of Christ. Now, this does not mean that you're not going to have an ache and a pain sometime. This does not mean you're not going to strain your lumbar. This does not mean that you're not going to have a sciatica problem. This doesn't mean that you're not going to have any number of physiological problems. But it does mean this. Your position is in Jesus Christ, far above all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. What I personally do, when I feel an attack coming on, I go to war in the name of Jesus. I rebuke, I resist, I renounce whatever it is that's coming against me. I have that authority. And I have known times I had immediate relief. The thought, I can't keep the thought from coming, but as I've told you 100 times, I don't have to keep it. We're to take every thought captive. Folks, I'm giving you a roadmap to walk in victory. I'm not saying it'll be pain-free life. I'm not saying that. Sometimes, and I can take the scripture and show you this, sometimes God is having to work something out of our life through some discomfort.
That's right.
That's why one of the things I do is I say, Lord, what is it in my life that you want to get out of my life? And sometimes we abuse our bodies.
Hello.
And then we pay the price for having abused our bodies. So don't go off the deep end. Just receive the word as it is stated. God has placed everything underneath the feet of Jesus. If what I'm experiencing originates in the spirit realm, then I have authority in Christ to take, to rebuke that which is operating in the spirit realm. If you understand this, if you believe this, if you grasp this, it'll change your prayer life.
Amen.
It will change your prayer life. Ephesians 1:22. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. The word declares that the church is the body of Christ on earth today. You are in the body, which is, Ephesians 1:23, which is his body. The church is his body. It's what the word of God says. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The church, once again, is the body of Christ on earth today. Jesus is the head of the body. Don't lose sight of that. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. We are the body of Christ on earth today. He is the head of the body. Christ, the head, is never separated from the body. He's the head. The church is the body. You are a member in the body. He is the head of the body, the church. The head is never separated from the body. Once again, where Christ is, the church is. Where the church is, Christ is. Once you understand that, that you can't go anywhere where he is not. Can't get away from that. The body of every believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Once again, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Wherever the believer may be, wherever you are, Christ is there. That being the case, you have no right to be in a place he's not comfortable.
Hello?
You have no right to be in a place where Christ is not comfortable. Okay, we've talked about the purpose of the church. Now I'm going to take a moment to talk about the power. Understand me when I say this to you. I have lived this. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And the ground is tore up where I've been fighting the enemy, where I've been in contest with the enemy. So this is not make-believe stuff. This is the Word of God. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. I have seen God set others set free.
Amen.
I have seen God move in such a way to set the captives free. What did Jesus say? He said, I come to set the captives free. There's no reason that a child of God should be captive to any sin. We were all in bondage before we were born again.
Right.
To one degree or another, we were in bondage in the kingdom of darkness. Now, coming out of bondage is a process, but it is a continuum. It is a continuum. Now we come to the power. Once again, Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, He wants you to be illuminated spiritually. He wants them to receive spiritual illumination so they can discern what is going on in their body, in their midst, in their nation, in their city, whatever it may be. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. For those who believe. I think it was Joshua. Joshua was in a battle, and he said, "Son, stand still." Son stood still. You believe that? You see, you got to decide, do I believe the Word of God? Do I really believe? Am I willing to stake my soul, my eternity, on the validity of the Word of God? Do I really believe what I'm reading in the Word? Do I receive it? If I believe it, I'll obey it. I can take you through the Scriptures time after time after time where a single individual praying, the power of God was displayed. Joshua down the battle fighting, down the valley fighting. Moses on the hilltop praying. God gave the day. Here's what I want you to understand. There's enough prayer power right here in this room to affect things in this nation, in this city, and in the international community.
That's right.
It's here.
Yes.
But we have to focus. We have to believe. And we have to pray big things. We don't just keep praying, "Lord, I got a little something here." There's strongholds in the nation to be torn down, the LGBT community. I'm asking God to invade the LGBT community with the love of Christ, His Holy Spirit, and bring hundreds and thousands of them out of that lifestyle into the body of Christ and let them be salt and light. And you can take that into every movement, whether it's Black Lives Matter, white supremacy, feminist movement, whatever it may be. We can penetrate the darkness with the power of God through prayer.
Amen.
You don't have to be afraid to say, "In the name of Jesus, I renounce, rebuke, resist the spirit of darkness assigned to the United States of America and all the demons assigned under him."
Amen.
Korea, North Korea, China, Russia. I mean, it's there in the book. Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed. He wanted God to bring correction to the nation. And he prayed that it might not rain for 3 years. And God stopped the rain. When you start believing this, you'll become a powerhouse in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 18:18. Remember what Paul prayed for the church. Now listen to me once again carefully. Paul did not pray that God would give them the power. He prayed that they would believe and understand the power that was already available to them. And access that prayer, that power, through obedience and through prayer. Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Bind, loose. You can bind. You can loose. You're a believer priest. Access to the throne of God. Matthew 18:19. "Again I say to you that if two of you will agree as touching anything on earth they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven." It's understood we're praying those things in accordance with His Word and His will. But He says, if two of you. Well, how many do we have praying in our conference of prayer?
More than two.
How many? Jesus said, if two of you will harmonize will harmonize, come into agreement in harmony. Verse 20 of Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. The church of today suffers the same thing the disciples did in the day that they were with Christ. Remember the father who brought his kid to the disciples? Kid was demonized. They couldn't cast him out. Jesus came down and cast the demon out. They later came to him and said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. What is that mountain? It is anything that opposes the will of God, the word of God. And we got a lot of mountains in the church. We got a lot of mountains in the nation. She didn't understand how she could be the mother of Messiah because she was a virgin. He said, with God, nothing is impossible. Now that's the angel Gabriel standing at the throne of God saying, nothing shall be impossible for God. I guess he has pretty good insight. Amen. Jeremiah 32:17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for you. You can't think of anything that's too hard for Jesus. You can't think of anything. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done to you. You see, once you abide in him and his word abides in you, that changes what you ask for. Changes your praying. How's it done? Through faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It's all done in faith based on the word of God. Now lastly, my last point. The church is the bride of Christ. Revelation. Chapter 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. The bride, which is the church, has for the most part been unfaithful to the groom. I just read this past week where 264 expressions of the Methodist Convention is pulling out. Then I read last night where another 74 is joining with them. So 216 plus 74. Why are they leaving the Methodist denomination? Because the leadership in the Methodist denomination has embraced the LGBT. Amen. The Pope, here again, the Catholic Church, is compromising again. There was an archbishop. They're entitled to room in the Vatican and income and all that once they retire. But this guy was staunchly anti-LGBT. So what did the Pope do? Took away his privileges. Took away his privileges. Because he's anti-LGBT. So when we look at the church, the Protestant church, the Lutherans, the Episcopals, we look at the Methodists, the Presbyterians, we look at denomination after denomination after denomination, which makes up the bride of Christ. Amen. The church is the bride of Christ. But she's living very loose. Very loosely. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. I can only think of one way that the bride can make herself ready. Repentance. Amen. For by grace you save through faith, that not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. So the only way I can see that the church, the bride, can make herself ready for Christ for the marriage is through repentance. And the word says the bride has made herself ready. That means she's got to repent. Well, what's it going to take to make her repent? Hello. What is God going to have to do to the nation and to the nations of the world to move the church into repentance? And it starts with each and every one of us. With each and every one of us. Well, I'm not sure what it's going to take, but I know this. The Father knows what it will take. The Father knows what it will take to bring repentance to the church. Now, I wasn't supposed to preach that this morning. But I understand now why the Lord had me working yesterday, getting this message ready to preach Monday, I thought, to the radio, which I preached here this morning. Not real polished. Wasn't all that well prepared for it, but I just delivered you the seed thoughts that the Lord birthed in me as I worked on the message. Now you have to decide how much of it am I going to receive. How much of what I've heard this morning am I going to receive? Father God, I submit to you that which I've preached this morning. I ask you to take it, use it for your glory, your honor, and your praise. Advance the kingdom of God. Do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Well, we may as well take the Lord's table now then. When we come to the table this morning, we know that the cup represents the blood of Christ. The bread represents the body of Christ. And Jesus said, except you eat my flesh. Let me just pause a minute. Bow your heads. And you may pray this prayer and not pray this prayer, but I'm going to give you a sample prayer you might want to pray. Silently, quietly to yourself, if you choose to pray it. If not, don't pray it. I'm going to pray a warfare prayer that will help you in your battle with the enemy. Lord Jesus, just to yourself, very quietly, I come before your throne, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And I renounce and I rebuke every enemy of the cross that's warring against my spirit, my soul, and my body. In the name of Jesus, I confess as sin the sins of my ancestors. I confess as sin the sins of my ancestors that I have sinned. In the name of Jesus, I take back all the ground that I have given to the enemy through my sin, my unbelief, my doubt, and my fear. And I'm inviting you, Spirit of the Living God, to do in me what only you can do. Jesus, you came to set the captives free. Set me free, I pray. Set me free, I pray. From the sins of the fathers and those sins that I committed in alignment with the sins of the fathers. In the name of Jesus, I renounce, rebuke, and resist every work of the enemy coming against my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And Satan, you're a trespasser. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to give me relief, comfort, and peace. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I pray like that, folks. I pray like that. Because over the years, I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen God bring relief and release from the attacks of the enemy. As we come to the table this morning, I remind you Christ said, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. Here again, he was simply saying, you must become one with me. One with me. Folks, I am so convinced. I will believe this, and I will preach this till I get to glory. I am convinced that every child of God can walk in more power, more freedom, more liberty than they ever realized was possible.
Amen.
We have to receive the Word, believe the Word, obey the Word. When Jesus said, this is my body, which is given for you. You are a purchased possession. He said, this is my blood. This cup represents his blood. When you stop and realize that God became flesh, went to the cross, took all of your sins on himself, put those sins to death in himself. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood cleanses from sin. You are, I can't get this strong enough, you are a spiritual walking powerhouse.
Amen. Amen.
Satan himself cannot stand against you. When you go against him in the name of Jesus, purchased by the blood of Christ, a believer priest, child of God, adopted into the family of God, in Christ, see the right hand of God the Father. Come boldly before the throne of grace, the Word of God says. I'm telling you, practice this. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? Make your stand. I stand on the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I rebuke you, whatever it may be. Renounce it and rebuke it. The blood, the bread, the body of Christ. Come get your bread and your cup, then return to your seat.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining us on Challenge today. And once again, I really, truly thank you for your support. I thank you for your prayers. And I thank you for your support of Challenge on the Air. You are my radio congregation, and I count you just as much of the Challenge Ministry congregation as I do our little local fellowship here in Jacksonville. You know, over the years, I've watched God move. I've watched God work. I've watched God do things that otherwise would not have been done. God hears and answers prayer, and I want you to be encouraged. I want you to understand, when you go to your prayer closet, God hears and answers prayer. And he answers prayers of all kinds for all kinds of people. Those of us who've been born again, we have direct access to the throne of God. We've been adopted into the family of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, and we have direct access to the throne of God. We need to use that direct access to the throne of God day after day after day as we go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer on behalf of the church and the church in the nations of the world. My position is that there will be an end-time government in which the church will be involved. Yes, the church will fall under the persecution and the prosecution of that individual known as the Antichrist. It took me a long time to get there because I grew up in churches telling me that Christ could come at any moment and the church might be raptured at any moment. But then, once I finally surrendered to the ministry, gave up everything and came into the ministry, and got into the Word more deeply myself and started checking other Bible teachers, especially the older scholars, and I found out that I was on solid ground by saying, church, you're going to meet the Antichrist. You are going to meet the Antichrist. And so you need to be praying with me day by day, asking our Heavenly Father for a revival that will shake this nation and the nations of the world for the kingdom of God, and ask him to stop the advancement of the kingdom of darkness for a season and give us an opportunity to continually come before His throne in intercessory prayer on behalf of the nations of the world and the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. So let's close out the broadcast right now with a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for meeting the need. I want to thank You for answering the prayer. And Father God, we come together before Your throne asking You in the holy and precious name of Jesus to breathe failure, strife, division, and failure on the entire satanic agenda operative against the nations of the world and against this nation. Father God, we're asking You to raise up a praying, repenting church, a people of God in this hour, in this day, that will give themselves to repentance and intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. And Father God, we're asking You to just bring revival, bring a spiritual renewal, and withhold the advancement of the kingdom of darkness for just a season longer. And if You'll do this, we'll give You all the honor, all the praise. We thank You in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, once again, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And once again, the need has been met for the Christmas funding for our men in the Philippines, those additional 13 pastors. So that need has been met. That prayer has been answered. I appreciate your listening. I appreciate you considering helping. And if you already sent something, well, we'll send it on to them anyway. Thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. Until we can do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.